It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. The Department of Justice on Wednesday announced it was bringing back a controversial policy called civil asset forfeiture. That lets authorities seize property and cash allegedly involved in a crime, sometimes even if the owner hasn't been charged. Conservatives and liberals have both come out in opposition to civil assets forfeiture as an overreach of power. In some states, the money goes to fund law enforcement departments, setting up worries of perverse incentives. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions has made the policy part of his approach of getting tougher on crime. Nicole Austin Hillary is director and counsel of the Washington office of the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU, and she joins me now. Nicole, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
How does civil assets forfeiture work?
If authorities reach out to an individual or groups that they believe have committed a crime and they've arrested them, if they believe that there are assets of any kind, whether that be cash or tangible property like cars, that they believe are related to or were obtained as a result of the criminal behavior, they can seize those assets. And with respect to cash, they can then use the cash. And with respect to the assets, they can sell those assets off and use the monies gained from that and give those monies to the federal authorities or to the local agencies that obtained the arrests.
Now, part of the rationale here from a law enforcement perspective is that, you know, if you have bad people with a bunch of cash or cars, they can use that money or the cars to commit more crime while the legal process winds along.
But the problem with the way in which the federal government does this is that it violates due process laws under the Fourth Amendment. The federal government will seize assets simply based on an arrest without a criminal conviction. And we all know that within the criminal justice system that we have that exists now, that there are many people that are wrongfully arrested. There are individuals who are profiled, who are arrested. And it is problematic if we have people's assets seized who then are later never convicted, and those individuals have a tremendously difficult time trying to get those assets back. And one of the problems that we see also is this. It's not necessarily those large drug kingpins that Attorney General Sessions is talking about that we are going to ostensibly get. It is often small, low-level individuals who are committing crimes or who are ostensibly committing crimes, people who really don't have these tremendous assets, people whose families are depending on them to take care of them. So it has a negative effect, a trickle-down effect. And so that's part of the problem. And these individuals don't have an opportunity to immediately say, I'm not the right person or I'm innocent. Don't take my assets. The assets are taken. And then everyone looks to see, well, have we gotten the right person or did we do this correctly?
Now, this is big money. The Department of Justice Inspector General issued a report saying forfeitures totaled $28 billion over the last decade. So this is not a small amount of money. But I mentioned that conservatives and liberals, they're libertarians, civil libertarians. A lot of people don't like civil assets forfeiture for the Fourth Amendment reasons that you mentioned. Could Congress act here and put a stop to it?
You know, Congress could act here and so could the courts. The fact that we do have members on both sides of the aisle saying this is a problem and we need to do something about this gives me some hope that maybe this is something that they can come together around. But the courts also have an opportunity to do something about this. You know, there was a case that came up in the Supreme Court, Leonard versus Texas, which was challenging civil asset forfeiture. Unfortunately, the court did not grant certiorari, which is, you know, the terminology used when the court says, yes, we're going to accept this case and we're going to hear it. They did not in this case, but Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, in his statement, did allude to the fact that this is an issue that may be one that should be given greater attention and focus. So I think we should keep an eye out for this. It very well may be an issue that comes back up through the courts, and that might be how we eventually see relief.
Nicole Austin Hillary, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
Nicole Austin Hillary is director and counsel at the Washington office of the Brennan Center for Justice.